Let's pray, shall we? Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for your love and your mercy towards us. Father, we thank you that you have not left us alone, but have provided ways for us to communicate with you that are significant, that are life-changing, earth-changing. So, Father, help us now as we go to your word, that we may learn and grow in the issue of prayer. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Let's go ahead and put it and recite the Lord's Prayer again. There it is. Let's stand together. All right. Once again, as you're praying this, it is a prayer, not just something you're reciting. All right. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Please be seated. Today we'll talk about thy will be done. I think of all of the parts of the Lord's Prayer, this is the most challenging. Because I think we know that there's a Heavenly Father. We know that He has a kingdom. He's the King, we're not. But ultimately this, here's the question. Are we willing to surrender our will unto Him? I don't think we do a very good job of it. Alan Redpath, that great man of God, in his studies on the Lord's Prayer called Victorious Praying, this is what Redpath says. Both the outward look and the inward look reveal that the will of God is not being done, because it is not being done in the Christian. There is no blessing in the church. And because there is no blessing on the church, the world is unreached, untouched, going to hell, lost for a time and eternity. There's something about the fact of God's people being ambivalent at best at times, or selective, saying, I'm not sure if I want to do that. I really want to do my own thing. I want to drink any way I want to drink. I want to live any way I want to live. I want to take into my eyes anything I want. I'm going to do my thing. And we somehow think it won't impact our ability to represent Christ well. It does. Obviously it does. Whoever came up with the idea that for the Crusades, you know, hey, let's go and invade Jerusalem and take it away from the Islamists, that was a dumb idea, you know, because, you know, years later people said, boy, you slaughtered people in the name of Christ. So here's the question. In my own heart, I had to preach this to myself first. How am I doing with saying, Lord, thy will be done. Thy will be done. Years ago, Florence Nightingale, at age 30, wrote in her diary, I am 30 years of age, the age of which Christ began his mission. No more childish things, no more vain things. Now, Lord, let me think only of thy will. Age 30. Jim Elliot, that great missionary who would be martyred by the Aka Indians, would say these words, God, I pray, light these idle sticks of my life, consume my life, my God, for it is thine. I seek not a long life, but a full one like you, Lord Jesus. You know, if I go to the cemetery in Ukiah, there every loved one that I've ever known is buried. And so it'll say when they were born, there'll be a dash, and then when they die. And someone's rightly written a poem about what the life in the dash. You know. Don't you want your life to really count? Sure you do. You say, but Pastor, man, if you knew all the knucklehead things I've already done, or if you know how I've been afflicted with this, or if you know what somebody did to me, I understand all these things. I live as a human being also. But here's what I know. No matter what's going on, Jesus Christ is the one who can make us a new creature. He can make all things new. Miriam Booth, the daughter of the founder of Salvation Army, was a brilliant and cultured lady. Her ministry began with a promise of great success. She was being wonderfully used by the Lord. In short while, though, her health completely broke down and she was brought to the point of death. A sympathetic friend spoke to her one day about the tragedy of her being laid waste. And here's what she said. It is a wonderful thing to do the Lord's work, but it is greater still to do the Lord's will. When I go to Africa and I teach, I love to teach hermeneutics and Bible study methods and discipleship. Why? Because there's a false gospel that came from America that has penetrated Africa, and this is this. It's the prosperity gospel. That if you give money or if you love Jesus and stuff, that you'll get a black Escalade and, you know, and you'll have all the money you need and you'll never get sick. That's a lie. It's a lie from hell itself. God never promised that. You know what God promised? He promised his presence, his grace, his forgiveness. He promised he would never leave us or forsake us. He also promised a place called heaven where the realities of this earth are pass away, and it's a place of perfection and no pain. And ultimate, everything will be unleashed for the positive. But until that day, we live in a world where it will be challenging for each one of us to say, Lord, thy will be done. I think it's a tough thing to say because I think that one of the great, clearly the greatest and the most seminal of all sins is the sin of pride. So how many times did the Lord say, humble yourself, or God opposes the proud but gives grace to the humble? Because our Heavenly Father had created an angel. His name was Lucifer. And here's what it says in Isaiah chapter 14. Oh, how you have fallen from the heavens, O morning star, son of the dawn. You have been cast down to earth, you who once laid low the nations. You said in your heart, I will ascend to heavens. I will arise above the throne of God. I will sit enthroned on the mount of the assembly and on the most heights of the mount of Zephon. I will ascend above the tops of the clouds. I will make myself like the Most High. But you are brought down to the realm of death, to the depths of the pit. Now a little clarification there. What is Mount Zephon? Mount Zephon was the holy mountain of the Canaanites. It was their equivalency to Jerusalem. Now, these are the words in five different times. It's I will, I will, I will, I will, I will. And here when Jesus is teaching us to pray, here's what he says. Thy will be done. Adam, not in so many words, said, not thy will, but my will be done, Lord. I'm going to eating that piece of fruit, even though that was a pretty dumb idea. God says, you can do all this stuff, but don't do this. I'm not sure if there's a theme song, but someone once said, if there's a theme song in hell, it's Frank Sinatra singing, I Did It My Way. And I kind of like the song. It's got, you know, got a good vibe to it, but you know, if you listen to it, it is a song about I. And here is what Jesus is telling us. If you want to be filled with joy, if you want your life to be successful, it is thy will be done. Thy will be done. And I guarantee you there's not one of us here who will stand before the judgment seat of God and say, hey, let me in because I did it my way. If you're trying to do that, just kind of cowboying up and or cowgirling up or whatever you're doing, and you're not including Jesus as your Savior and Lord, then you're doing it your way. And that's a terrible mistake. So we want to look here now at a definition. Someone once said, I'm not sure who it is, I'll see if I find it here. Someone said, the will of God, nothing more, nothing less, nothing else. So we want to look at the definition of the Word of God. It is God's revealed will in the Scriptures, first of all. I've had people come to me and said they had this dream and that God told them they should tell me something. I've had people show up in every church I've been in, except one, and said, God told me that I'm supposed to speak here today. I said, well, you know what? When God tells me, we'll both know. I mean, that may sound... I've had people... that's kind of how it works. God's not a God of confusion. God reveals himself in his word. And so the first is this, is that in thy will be done, it is accomplishing God's will actively as an act of obedience. Colossians chapter 1, verse 9, Paul says, I do not cease to pray for you and desire that you will be filled with the knowledge of his will. Knowledge of his will. That's how Paul prayed for the churches. You be filled with the knowledge of his will. Praise God for that. Jesus Christ himself modeled this by living a life where he was in constant sensitivity to the will of the Father. John chapter 4, verse 34 says, my meat or food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. Goes on in John 15, 30 and 6, 38, I do not seek my own will, but the will of the Father who sent me. Luke chapter 22, verse 42, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. See, in the Bible, it talks about, really, there's different wills. First of all, that there's your will. I'm not going to do a sermon right now on if there's free will or not. Okay? I'm just going to tell you, if we're made in God's image, God's got a free will, so we got a free will. So there you go. Do I understand that? No. I mean, because that means God will have known everything that ever happened, and he still created us. So anyway, I'll move on from there. But basically, you have your will. As many as received him, to them he gave the right to be called the children of God. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. Whoever believes upon him shall not perish but have everlasting life. There's an interaction between yourself and God. So you have your will, but it also talks about the society's will that we live around. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 2 says, wherein in past times ye walked according to the course of this world, or the will of this world. I don't know about you, but my mom said, if your friends jumped off a cliff, would you do it too? And I said, yeah, probably so, because I was a follower. And then ultimately, people were following me, and that's a scary thing, because people are like, lemmings, right, that go off the cliffs, right? Kind of like lemmings. I said lemurs one time, but that doesn't work. They're just a cute animal from Madagascar. So you have your own will, you have society's will, pulling us, do this, here's the way to do it. Oh, you guys still do it that way, But we also there in the Bible talks about the devil's will. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 26, it says, taken captive by him at his will. Friends, then there's the Lord's will. So if we were to make a diagram, here you put yourself in the middle, all right? And if you put a throne or a chair, you could be sitting in it, or society or your friends could be sitting in it, or the devil could be sitting in it, or the King Jesus could be sitting in it. If King Jesus, or the, as we're praying to the Father, thy will be done, if he's sitting and he's king, then he's negotiating and working out all those things for our good. That's what he promises. Psalm chapter 1 says, blessed is the person who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, stand in the path of sinners, or sit in the seat of scoffers, but who meditates on the law of the Lord day and night will become like a tree firmly planted by the river. It's a choice, isn't it? Don't listen to the world. Don't let someone sit down in that chair who doesn't have the capacity to get you where you need to go. And there's only one, Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2. Only one who's been there and back. So when we pray, thy kingdom come, the first thing is, it's a surrender to his will, the stuff he's told us. So you don't really have a decision to make. It's not like between good and bad. I mean, it is a decision between good and bad. Should I rob this bank or not rob the bank? Well, don't do it, because God says don't rob banks. So just follow what he has to say. People, I don't know what to do. Well, have you the word of God. That's why the Apostle Paul says, I want you to be filled and know the word, the will of God. Friends, we know the will of God as we know the word of God. So let it wash over you, you know. And just then, we just do it. Obey him. The word of God says to forgive as you've been forgiven. So don't argue with God. Well, God, you know, this person was a rat fink and they did this. Well, you know, I didn't write the Bible. God says this is how it works. Forgive. That's what it means. Thy will be done. So here's a question. Don't answer it out loud. Is there something that God has already revealed of how you're supposed to live that you are purposely and willfully not doing? You're saying, no, I'm not doing that. I'm not going to forgive my wife or my husband. Then you're going to reap a whirlwind of hurt. Because you're walking out in the jungle and God doesn't want you there. All right. So the first is this, once again, it is allowing the Lord to be the one sitting in the seat. He is then, we have given him our will. Lord, thy will be done. The next one is this. It's not so much the stuff that God has said. Okay, here's how to treat people. Be kind, be gentle, be humble, be forbearing, be patient. Do all you can do to maintain the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. So, thy will be done. Lord, I'm going to do that. That's how you've told me to live. But there's another way that is much more challenging at times. If you do that first, if you say, Lord, I'm going to surrender to your revealed word in your will, then the Bible says he'll make your path straight. You'll be like a tree firmly planted that bears fruit. That's a blessing, right? It doesn't promise you get the black Escalade or whatever, but it says he'll bless your life. But there's another sense of the word when we say thy will be done that is much more personal. Well, I'm trying to think how many years now. It would be 44 years ago. There was this young lady. She was in the youth group at the church. And I kind of liked her. She caught my eye. She had been on this Bible quizzing trip back and forth across the country, and the youth pastor said, you know what, I wanted to drown all the people on the van except for one, that's Sue Sparso. And I found out, well, why? He goes, man, she had such a quiet and gentle spirit. She was able to hang together while everybody else was at each other's throats on this 6,000 mile van ride. And I thought to myself, wow, that's what I need, right? I need someone. And I asked her out. We went to a jazz concert, right? And then after that, we went to the Dickens Fair. And then I kind of chickened out a little bit. I was going, man, I don't know. What do I do now? And so we took some classes together. And then I remember we were going to check out a place to go backpacking with the college girls from the youth group. And they wanted me to help find a spot. So it was myself, Sue, and another person going to Point Reyes. And I remember we were on the beach, and I thought, and here's the line. Okay, you could use it if you want. Hey, I've never held hands with a girl on the beach before. Can I hold your hand? It seemed to work. I mean, it worked. We took our shoes off. We walked on the beach. And then we walked, and I'm not kidding, we lost our shoes. So we're, you know, excuse. You know that she was not the only beautiful, godly woman in the world. So how do I choose? It's hard, isn't it? Not so hard, really. I mean, but the fact is this. Is that the only person in the world I could have been happy with, or it would have been follow the criteria of who a Christian can marry? No. So I needed to find God's will. You understand, you know what I'm saying? It's God's will for Sue and I. So she would, we'd ultimately, I remember the first time I told her I loved her. We were driving. I had to go to meet with some seminary people, and I thought, man, I got to tell her today. And then she was driving, and she goes, you know what? God told me something really important is going to happen today. I'm going, wow. So I pulled off so I didn't crash right at the Geyserville exit. And right there I told her. I said I loved her, and I thought that we needed to talk about something more concrete than just not being a couple. I mean, dating. So I would go off to Modesto. She would go off to Switzerland to a Bible college. And obviously now we've been married for 41 years. Why do I share that story? Because somewhere in the middle of that, I desperately needed to know God's will for my life. Right? So, God blessed. Plenty of people like that. What college should I go to? You know, should I move out of state? Should I do this? Here's the only way I know. I mean, there's so many other examples of this. I'll just share one more example for personal life. I've shared this before. We were in New Zealand, and we had bought a home and planned to be there for the rest of our lives and get dual citizenship and be rugby fans and everything. And then Carly got sick, and specialist in Auckland told us that she probably need to move to a warmer climate. Well, southern New Zealand's not warm. It's kind of like living on Victoria Island, British Columbia. Beautiful, but cold. And we didn't know what to do. And so we walked across at Queen's Park, across from our house, and we wept and went to Ziff's restaurant in front of the fireplace and wrote our list of pros and cons and question marks we had. And we cried out to the Lord. And you know what? I would have never known that God had as part of his plan to be your pastor. You see, God works in mysterious ways, our wonders behold. You can trust him. So the first part of God's will, he's already revealed it, just means obey him, trust him, obey him. That you're putting his desire and his plan above your own. So don't somehow think that you're smarter than God. Just do it. And the next one is this, is that as God is showing you his will or brings you to situations, you go, man, I don't know what to do. He's told us in Scripture, here's how you find it. And we'll get into that in a moment. The book of Deuteronomy chapter 29, verse 29 has a very important verse. The secret things belong to the Lord our God, but the things revealed belong to us and to our children forever. that we may observe all the words of thy law. If God is who he says he is, all-powerful, all-knowing, omnipotent, everything, creates a universe like that, then there's parts of that that I will not be able to understand until I'll know fully as I'm fully known. But until that time, the Lord says, you're going to have to trust me with the mysteries. You're going to have to trust me of why that van load of kids in the youth group went off the canyon road. When I know God's got the power to just have his angels put it back on the road. I don't understand a lot of these things. But here's what I understand. That I am not alone in this universe. I was created by a God who loves me. I've been created in his image. And even when my forefathers fell away and walked away, God has made a way back through Jesus Christ our Lord. And I might not understand. I think, my God, I'm almost 36. Do I have 30 more years of life? Well, what if I get Alzheimer's? What if I get cancer? What if I have a heart attack? Whatever. What about money? What about these things? Those things are all worthy things to worry about. But you know what the Lord says? Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all the things you need will be added to you. Worry not. So when we pray, thy will be done, that's a big prayer. What are you worrying about today? Obviously, it's not something that God's already revealed, right? You just got to obey and trust him. Be Christ-like. But what about the things of the unknown, those areas in the dark, they're in the mist, the fog? You can trust him. I'm in the same boat, exactly the same boat you're in. And I wish at times that things were a little easier. But the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Two parts of God's will. One is the revealed will, and one is the mystery where you have to cling to him. And here's how we want to talk about how that works. George Mueller of Bristol, that great man of prayer, said this: I never remember a period I never ever sincerely and patiently sought to know the will of God by the teaching of the Holy Spirit, through the instrumentality of the Word of God, but I have been always directly aright. But if honesty of heart and uprightness before God were lacking, or if I did not patiently wait upon the Lord for instruction, or if I preferred the counsel of my fellow man to declare the Word of God in the living, I have made a great mistake. He's saying this: if I didn't trust the Lord, and if I didn't trust his Word, I didn't trust his Spirit, but I just trusted in the counsel of people, then I've made a mistake. Now, let me encourage you as a brother in Christ, when you give advice to someone, there's great responsibility. Don't just tell people what they want to hear. May it be wisdom as blessed and enlightened by the Word of God. All right? So the first thing is this, in finding God's word, will, is that we need to give ourselves to him. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Therefore, I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living and holy sacrifice acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, which is good, acceptable, and perfect. Friends, here's how it works. You want to find God's will in your life? Then you give yourself to him as a living sacrifice. That's how it works. And so why do some people, even as believers, walk in the dark? Because they're living selfish lives. So take a step back. Say, Lord, I don't want to be selfish. Lord, I want to give myself to you in worship and in praise. The next thing we know about this is that we find it not only by presenting ourselves to the Lord. So, Lord, I give myself to you that I may prove what your will is for my life. Next is by meditating on the Scriptures. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask and you shall, it shall be given and it shall be done for you. John chapter 15, verse 7. On a great Awana verse in Psalm 119, 105, the word, thy word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. So, if you're trying to figure out your own personal thing, Lord, should I marry this person? Should I join the French Foreign Legion? Should I whatever? Then you have to present yourself in worship to the Lord. Next is be a man or woman of the Word of God. Let His light shine on it. And the last part of that is it's not only worship, seeking the Lord in His Word, but also it's allowing the Lord to be Lord. Romans chapter 8, verse 14, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God are the sons of God. Ephesians 5, verse 17, wherefore be not unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Do not be wise in your own, do not be unwise, you know the will of the Lord. And so the fact is this, is that we have to say, putting God on the throne of our life, we then worship Him, be in a state of worship, of surrender. Next, be a man or woman of the Word. And next, keep seeking Him as Lord. Lord, I need to know Your will. I believe one of the things He does, He also provides people where you can get some wise counsel. It doesn't have to be a pastor, though pastors, that's what part of our role is. But surround yourself with people who are wise counselors. So I want to ask you the question, don't answer it out loud. Who can you go to get wise counsel from? Who's not just going to tell you what you want to hear? You need to have people in your life that you can call on. And lastly, we want to talk about doing God's will. This is one of the most incredible passages in the Bible regarding prayer. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Whoa. Well, what does that mean? Years ago, Field Marshal Montgomery, before he was took charge of the British 8th Army in Africa, they were demoralized. They weren't doing so good. So basically, he came and realized as he kind of reconnoitered what was going on. Here's what he said. Orders no longer formed on the basis of discussion, but for action. Previously had been queried by subordinates right down the line. I was determined to stop this state of affairs at once. You see, what had happened was is that the people, the soldiers, had gotten into the habit of questioning the orders. And they would have little discussion groups. Well, I wonder if we should be doing this or not. And Montgomery said, no, we're not living that way. We're going to be, I'm the general, you're not. And quit talking about it, just do it. Now, here's what I have to say. Not all generals are created equal. Some of them are lousy generals. And Montgomery often was a good one. But the fact is this, is that I want to ask you the question, is Jesus a lousy king? I mean, has he ripped you off somehow, or myself? Had done anything to say, nah, I don't trust that guy? No. And so the issue is this, is that I'm supposed to say, thy will be done at the same level as his will is done in heaven. Now, I want you to think about that. You think the angels, when God says, hey, I think we ought to do this, they have a small group meeting and they vote on it? There's some democracy there? No. You think it's half-hearted or incomplete? I bet they're waiting in line saying, man, send me, send me, send me. Oh, Gabriel got to do that job. You know, I don't know what they're doing, but I think it's complete. I don't think there's any half-hearted obedience in heaven. Next, it is unquestioned. They don't debate it. Amy Carmichael, a 20th century missionary in India, wrote this. And I shall pray to change thy will. Shall I pray to change thy will, my Father, until it be according to mine? But no, no, Lord, that shall never be. Rather, I pray thee, blend my human will with thine. I realized God could have killed me and vaporized me a lot of times when I wrestled. No, I don't want to do that, Lord. You know, he's patient. But ultimately this. If we're supposed to say thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven, then we have to stop arguing with the Lord. And lastly, it's willingly. Maybe God will ask me to do something I don't want to do. Well, guarantee that, you know. You know, he's a kind father. He's a gentle father. He's a gentle shepherd. Do not be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. We do it willingly. I've shared before, if I know that it's my wife's birthday or my kid's birthday or whatever, anniversary, and I go to the flower shop and get flowers, I say, you know, I'm obligated today to buy flowers because it's, and I say to my wife, I'm fulfilling my obligations. Wow. It wouldn't go so good. No. There ought to be a spontaneity, a willingness. Because that's what love is. So here's the question. God has already revealed how he wants you to live. Are you doing it? And if not, then including myself, I need to repent of that. God, forgive me for not doing this. I want to live the way you call me to live. But you also may be in that spot where you're going, man, I got this wrestling match. And first of all, it shouldn't be a wrestling match if God has already said, don't do that. All right? Just trust him. If you trust him, here's what I believe. God will do a miracle. Because that's what God does. Adelaine Pollard was distressed. In spite of her efforts, she could not raise funds. She needed to be a missionary in Africa. Finally, an older woman came to her. She was discouraged. She was like 40 years old, this Adelaine, at a meeting in 1902. And the older lady came to her and said these words, Lord, it doesn't matter what you bring into our lives. Just have your way with us. And that stuck in that woman's mind. She wanted to go to Africa, and God had blocked it. So in her mind, it was, I can't be happy, I can't be filled with joy, I can't be fulfilled unless I go to Africa. Friends, you got to step back and say, Lord, I will be satisfied, my joy complete, as I do your will. That's how it works. As a result of that, she would go home looking at the text of Jeremiah 18, which talked about God being the potter and we're the clay. And she would write the words to have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way, Lord, have thine own way. Thou art the potter, I am the clay. Mold me, make me after thy will. While I am waiting, yield and still. Here's what it means to say, thy will be done. It's saying, Lord, I don't understand it, but have thine own way. Those things you've already revealed, that's what I'm going to do, without reserve. The kind of life you want me to leave, kind of choices you make, I'm going to defer to, Lord, how you want me to live. And to those things of mystery in my own personal life, I'm going to do whatever I do, anything and everything that brings glory to you. Walk in a manner worthy of the gospel. Well, in closing, we're going to sing another song called I Surrender All. And let me get it out here. We'll sing it together. But I want you to sing this song. I want you to think about right now, are there things in your life that you haven't surrendered? Then when you pray, thy will be done, you're not being really true to yourself, are you? So as you sing this song, think about those issues of your life. Say, Lord, I surrender this to you. Amen? Let's stand together and sing, I Surrender All. Yeah, I'll do this. All to Jesus I surrender, all to Him I freely give. I will ever love and trust Him, in His presence daily live. I surrender all, I surrender all to Thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender all to Jesus, I surrender. Humbly at His feet I bow, worldly pleasures all forsaken. Take me, Jesus, take me now. I surrender all, I surrender all. All to Thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender all. All to Jesus I surrender, Lord, I give myself to Thee. Fill me with Thy love and power, and that testing fall on me. I surrender all, I surrender all to Thee, my blessed Savior, I surrender all. I believe that the Lord wants to do miracles in our midst. He wants to bring a light and revival to this county that has maybe never been seen before. Here's where it starts. It starts with pastors and lay people and moms and dads and kids all saying, Thy will be done. Jesus, your King, have your way in my life. Use me in any way you want. No holds barred. And I believe that's how His kingdom comes. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank You for Your mercy, Your love. Thank You. You're so patient with us, Lord. So Lord, help us each and every day of our life to submit ourselves to Your will. Help us to prove it by allowing our lives to be a daily sacrifice to You. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Have a great day.